Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
How your expectations go up. So thanks for those emails and texts letting us know how you're doing. Tonight, we've got a great show for you, but like we always do, we begin the program by letting you know, in case it's your first time, or if it's your second time, you just couldn't believe it the first time, we want you to know the people that make up our co-host team, because they're some of the best people you could ever know in the world. I call them God's finest. I'm Pastor Joe Schofield. They bless my life every week, all through the week. First of all, you probably know we have Dr. Paul Hall, who is a retired pastor and theologian who theologues all week long. And theologues an important word, because what does theologue mean? What does he do, folks? Theologues, researches. Boy, I threw you a twist on that one, didn't I? Get that one backwards.
I finally know.
Paul, they were worried on that one for a second. Sorry, guys.
So was I.
That'll teach you not to write that note down. But anyway, we love Paul. Paul's been a pastor. He's a professor. He's a teacher. He's a writer. He's just about one of the best guys you'll ever know. He's been my buddy and my brother for over 50 years. In fact, we were back there with Moses, you know, when he went around Mount Sinai. But anyway, we had a good time, and it's great to have him as part of our team. We also have with us, now we're starting in California. That's in Lompoc.
Correct.
California.
Right.
I got it right.
You did.
Lompoc, California. And if we go all the way across the nation and bounce ball to the state of Georgia, we have two wonderful folks there, Dr. Craig and Stephanie Thayer. Stephanie is a well-known health coach, and she coaches people on what to eat, how to eat, what to do, and to be persistent and grow in what they do to basically keep the faith. And she has a great faith in the Lord. So when she talks about keeping the faith, she knows how to do it. And her husband is a great surgeon, also actually a specialist in nutrition. He could tell you all about what to eat also, but he's probably our best buddy because he still likes fudge no matter what Stephanie says. So that's important. Those times of year we get fudge. A little bit anyway. She's good to us on that. But Stephanie and Craig live in Dalton, Georgia, and they have an incredible ministry in the lives of just countless people all across the nation on helping them spiritually as well as physically. So it's great to have them as part of our team. We love and appreciate both of them beyond words, just like Paul. Then we take the meter and we bounce it all the way back, going to the middle of America, which we so endearingly call Central America, which is Texas. Actually, somebody told me once that the United States sits on the state and rests on the leg of Texas, balancing it and holding it up. So since we have a Texan today, I kind of had to say that. We've got coming all the way from McKinney, Texas, we have a wonderful pastor. He's a coach in helping men. He works with a man in the mirror out of Florida, actually, but he's all over the Midwest. He's from Wisconsin. He ran for Congress. He is a United States Marine. He is a man who helps guys become guys and real men in Christ Jesus to everyone around them, to their families, to their wives, to their friends, to their pastors, and to everybody. Ron Greer from McKinney. Ron, it's great to have you on this team. Love and appreciate you, brother. All right. We're going to hear a great story from Ron after the show. We'll share it with you later. It's going to be a great one. So anyway, this makes up one of the best groups you ever do. And if somebody texted me just past week or a week before last, they said, it's kind of like the old movie Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. He said, where did you find these guys? Who are these guys? Well, now you know who they are. And they're a bunch of thorns, and the rose in the middle is Stephanie, who a rose among thorns, right? There we go.
Absolutely.
Take care of it. Hey, folks, tonight we have coming to us again from the great state of Texas. We have one of the greatest young pastors you're ever going to meet. You met him once, but it's been about a year and a half. Will Hobbs is a graduate of Texas A&M University in Bryan, Texas. He is a graduate of Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. He served as an associate pastor in one of the largest churches in America. I had the blessing of being able to work with him, too. He was one of the greatest guys I've ever worked with in my life. He now is an associate pastor at Kelview Heights Baptist Church in Midland, Texas, and he'll tell you about that. Oil, Friday Night Lights, you know all about where he is. But he's coming tonight, and he came up with this great idea. He's going to expound on this somewhat for us. We're going to talk with him. We want to, on Raising Expectations in the year 2020, whether it's your health, whether it's your spirit, whether it's your outlook on life, whether it's your belief in what's happening anywhere, and particularly in your heart, your spiritual condition with God, we want to raise your expectations. So we're kind of going with something that Will gave us and a great idea. Will was a great idea man when I had the privilege of working with him. He said, how about, we call this tonight, influencing people toward hope. He'll probably share what that word hope means all through Scripture. We believe in it because we know the one who created it, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're excited tonight. Would everybody on the team, would you welcome back with us again after your nap, all the way from Midland, Texas, Pastor Will Hobbs. Will, come on in. Welcome to Raising Expectations.
Thank you.
Good to have you with us. Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you, Will has a wonderful, beautiful wife named Lauren who loves the Lord, and they're just the greatest couple. I remember when they were dating, but we won't go with those stories. But anyway, also, he's got two beautiful daughters, Emma and Abigail. We got to meet them before the program. We may bring them on with them if we can get them to do that next time, because they are so sweet. But Will, come on in here and tell us a little about yourself and about how you influence people, as I know you do, towards hope.
Yeah, thank you so much, Joe Schofield. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I grew up, I'm a Texas boy. So I grew up near Houston, Tomball, Magnolia, Woodlands area. So just basically Houston, if you don't know where that is. And been here most of my life. Yeah, like you said, went to college, got my master's degree at seminary, and God sent us out here in the middle of the oil patch in West Texas, and have been working with, I had the pleasure of working, like you said, Joe, with you for what, 3.5 years?
Yeah.
And that was great fun. And we had a lot of fun together. We had just enough fun where you don't get in trouble. Almost. We were right there on the line. And, right there. But it was great. It was a pleasure. It really was. And so then God sent us out here to West Texas. So I've been working with young adults, young singles, young marrieds, all different marital status, different stages of life, anyone basically coming out of high school and that age group, 20s, late teens, 30s, even on a little above that as well. So it's been fantastic. We've been out here since 2013. Yeah, and I wanted to talk a little bit about, and obviously I want to include everybody in this talk, of course, influencing people toward hope, and really how that breaks down. It's a simple statement. I mean, anyone can grab that as a mnemonic device, as a memory device, and say, okay, how can I do this practically? So first off is influencing. We all have influence, whether you realize it or not. I think most Americans, most humans underestimate their capacity for influence. And ministry, you know, people use the word minister as a verb or ministry. And I think that word is used and often not explained. And some people don't understand what is minister, what is ministry. And so really ministry is influence. It's that simple. And so influencing, and just a reminder that all of you listening, look, I don't care what doubts you have a huge capacity to influence and mentor and minister to people, whether you realize it or not. And then, so influencing, and then people, second word, second point. I mean, we all, we all are designed to need each other, to have fellowship with each other, to be around each other, whether it's on a screen like we're doing right now, which helps accentuate, it helps add to fellowship, or it's in person. We need that too as well. And I think part of the reason I attached hope at the end toward hope is that us being around people, or the lack of that for many over the last almost couple of years has been, I think that has been a disappointment, and people have let go of hope slowly. And sometimes they even haven't even realized that they're doing it. And so since we were created and designed to be together when we're not for extended periods of time, and this video conference is fantastic, but you can't do it all over a video screen. And so when we're not face-to-face, person-to-person, hugging, touching, talking, eye contact, all of that, it's just different. It's not the same. And so influencing people and then toward hope. And just to say real quickly about that, the past couple of years, hello. I mean, that's Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Mm-hmm. So literally my emotional life is negatively affected when I have something that I'm hoping for, hoping towards, or I don't have hope at all, that I'm hoping for, hoping towards, that gets deferred and delayed and delayed and delayed. And oh, we're going to do it on this date, but no, we're not. It's delayed. Y'all are catching what I'm saying. I'm not trying to be ugly, but to be direct. And so influencing people toward hope. But when desire comes, scripture says, it's basically like a tree of life. It brings, it changes everything. Mm. So influencing people Amen. Toward hope. I thought that would be a good topic for us to talk about tonight. Obviously, I value any of your input as well as we navigate this and talk about practically, how can we do this in other people's lives? Because anybody listening right now, you can. You absolutely can.
Amen. Anybody have a question, Ron? You want to go ahead and get a question or thought?
Well, that was going to be my first question. So how do you see the most practical ways people to sort of influence other folks toward hope? The everyday person.
Yeah. So I think the everyday person, whether they're, so today I'm going to use the vernacular Christian, non-Christian, or believer, or a non-believer. And so I know we've got both listening right now. So for everyone, whether you're a believer in Christ or not, for everyone, I think a huge part of that is just calling that neighbor that you haven't talked to, but you said hi to when you were passing by, but you don't really, hey, what's up? How's it going? Good. Oh, what are you grilling? I'm grilling burgers tonight. What, you know, the conversation doesn't often go beyond that. So inviting them over, firing up the fire pit, if you have that, or cooking around the grill, hey, bring the kids over, let's talk. And just being in each other's lives, I think is huge. And it doesn't have to be complicated. That's the thing. That's the miracle of it. It's simple conversation. It's letting them know you care. It's reminding them that they're are other people in the world that are there to help them, to talk to them, to listen to whatever they're struggling with. That right there, for believers, we have a particular ability to do that by the giftedness of the Holy Spirit. But even for unbelievers, that right there is, I know that's super, super simple, Ron Greer, but in answer to your question, but that's where it starts.
Yeah.
It's just face-to-face conversation. And hey, if someone's being more cautious right now and you want to do that distancing still, there's nothing bad about that. You can do that in your backyard. You can grill and transfer information and talk to each other and let the kids hang out or not, or whatever. You can do that absolutely outside as well. So,
man,
well, that's good. I like it because I like the it's part of my my obsession and my pet peeve. Everybody knows me. Every neighborhood I know, I move in. Everybody knows that the weird guy down the street. I really do. I'm thrilled to listen to you talk about that because it is something we don't do. One of the things that I try to encourage people, the guys I work with, find a way to position yourself outside and study your neighbors and find any excuse at all to connect with them. Because, you know, we live in a community where there are garages and people drive down the street. They drive into the garage and close the door. People don't know their neighbors. They wave at them. That's about it. So, yeah, I like that. Find any excuse at all to talk with them, to share with them. And I'm the weird guy. I walk down the sidewalk casually and I put myself right in the driveway because I figured out they won't close the garage door if you're standing there talking to them.
Well, and Ron, just the other day, we had two new people move in by the houses across two of the houses across the street, two right. different families. And it was as simple as, I'm not doing this to say, look at us, but it was simple. It was as, I'm saying this to say how simple it is. It was yeah. as simple as going to, a cake company here in town right. and get them some specialty, small little sampler cakes okay. and my business card. And we wrote our cell phone numbers on my business card and my wife's as well. And walked over and knocked on their door. And then the first thing you say is, hey, I promise I'm not a salesman. And then, you know, cause they don't want that. And just say, look, we live across the street. I wrote our address on my business card. Here's our cell phone numbers. Here's a gift. Welcome to the neighborhood. If you guys need something, let us know. We're here. I mean, it just starts there. Yeah. How simple is that? It costs $20, $30, right. whatever.
I hate to hog the conversation. One more question. So in your estimation, why don't we do simple things like that? I'll say this also. I'm old enough, antique enough to remember growing up, that was just normal. I mean, there was no yeah. such, it was not a technique you had to learn. Everybody knew everybody. So yeah. what has happened that we don't do that? Why is that something that has to be learned and practiced now? What do you think?
When you find the answer to that, you let me know. I think it's a little bit of a multifaceted answer. I think I don't think I could boil it down to one thing. I think there are multiple factors. Mm-hmm. We get busy and we let our schedules get overloaded. I think that's a significant factor. No schedule balance. Okay. No downtime in my schedule, no balance in my schedule. So I don't make time to go say hi to my neighbors. And some people, you know, they don't. Mm-hmm. Another thing I would say, and again, there's multiple factors. Maybe y'all can chime in on some. One is, quite frankly, what I call a screen addiction, addiction to screens. I mean, I'll sit at a red light and I'll watch the people driving through the intersection when mine's red and theirs is green. And I'll fix my eyes in one spot just above the steering wheel or inside of the steering wheel. And I'll see how many of them are on their phones as they're driving through the intersection, looking down at the phones. And I'm thinking, okay, wow. So, yeah. Putting the devices away. When I get home, I put my phone on silent and it's in the other room and I do check it. So if someone needs to get a hold of me, I'm right back with them, but I'm with my family and my phone's not there. And I have because I know I'm going to have the temptation to pick it up. And so just things like that, they all play in to where we look up, it's midnight, it's bedtime. And then a year goes by and we never talk to our neighbors.
Amen. What do you think, Paul?
I have a perfect segue. A teenager just walked into our room and literally just put his phone down because it's a distraction to him. And he knows if he gives it to us. So that was perfect. Kind of funny. But, you know, when you first brought up the topic, I had thought about something and then you highlighted it a little bit, which is having downtime. I am a super type A person. And before the pandemic, I had too much all the time and it was all good things, but it was too much. And I honestly got depressed. Like I think everybody did. I didn't get out of my pajamas the first few weeks. And then I realized you have to pull yourself together. And I started embracing being stuck in the quiet. Like he was at the hospital, but we didn't leave the house for 2 or 3 months. I mean, California was really locked down. We'd have groceries delivered. And so it was good for me because it reset priorities. But I also realized how much I miss touching people, and not in a weird, creepy way, but like I'm a hugger and I need, and then you go, is it okay? Can I touch you? Like, you know, cause people are so weird now. Like, are you just going to fist bump or what are you going to do? But some of my favorite conversations.
Only after you bought a power washer that I was afraid of because I get back from the hospital and I thought you were going to use it on me.
But I have a story because we're new to our community and I said, hey, I'm going to go to the dump, you know, so I have recycling and these two guys are in the way of where I need to be. And I said, do you mind if I pull in? They're like, no problem. I sat for 40 minutes and talked with these guys, believers, Eagle Scouts, which my sons are, like, they invited us over. I mean, just the availability of not being in a rush. Mm-hmm. We had a huge connection and they're seniors and they're retired. And I don't know how many people they interact with on a daily basis, but I've had interactions like that in grocery stores. If I'm not in a rush, it's amazing what can happen in an aisle.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Great point.
Yeah, I think society has, I don't know if just becoming more secular, but I think they clearly think they're in control, right? Mm. Not God. They may not even think that God's purposeful about everything. So when you start to place yourself number one, you don't need any help. I mean, if you're on a ship with a bunch of other people in a huge storm, you're praying and you're a team and you're relying on those people for help. So yeah, I think we don't have that sense anymore of, teamwork and
community.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, hope is contagious, so we need each other.
Yeah. I also think people think it needs to be something big. I have a pretty decent social media following and we have a business because of it. And people go, oh, but you have numbers. I said, who cares? One person is one person. And if we're all helping one person, one, you're going to feel better. And two, that person is it's going to be this ripple effect, right?
Right.
And so I think sometimes we get caught up in, we have to be the great of whatever. And we don't. I think just us, there are people that resonate with us and just showing a little bit of love, right?
Yeah. Amen.
Well, I mean, I can think of another experience. We go to Honduras every year for medical mission trips. And I'll tell you the biggest thing I did on one of those trips. And then after that, whenever we had the chance, but Ricardo's the VP of running the whole thing. And we're at an orphanage and he, like what you said, Ron, know your neighbor, know something about them. He knew that I was an orphan. So my testimony began before I was even born. And he used that. We probably had 30 of us on this trip, and he called on me and said, hey, at this orphanage, can you talk to these kids about how you are an orphan and where you are now to give them hope? Mm-hmm. And I got on my knees and was humble.
Mm. Amen.
Yeah.
Well, let me jump in. A little bit, okay. I've been theologing while you guys have been talking. It's been a lot.
I could see.
I like to think and I like to write. Will, you might want to address this as well. Have you found that there's almost nothing more desperate than a Christian who has lost their hope?
Amen.
Ever dealt with Christians who have just they've just had enough and broken people? And to influence them, to share what we have. One of the scriptures that talks about hope and the gospel's full of it, but one of the scriptures when Paul writes in the book of Romans, he says, May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I address this. Have you ever had anybody walk up to you and kind of cock their head sideways and say, what in the world makes you tick? You're different. What's wrong? What is up with you? Okay. And of course that opens the door for us to talk about the Lord and the Holy Spirit. But it brings me, back to the point. One of the things that the Spirit gives us is just this overwhelming sense of joy in the face of unbelievable odds, the world. I read a quote today that said, I can't believe we don't have world peace after changing the names on pancake boxes and syrup bottles. And I'm thinking, boy, isn't that where we are? We are. And so to speak of the hope that's inside of us is, and Will, I appreciate what you said, it is infectious. It's contagious. People want to be around people of hope. Give you a quick example. My wife and I went to a funeral on Saturday of it was held in a liturgical church, which is certainly not my background. And when it came time to pass the peace, I had people walking up fist bumping, hey, peace, pop like that. And I'm thinking, boy, we've gone a long way from greet each other with a holy kiss to give each other a fist bump, but that's just kind of reflective of the world, is it not? Looking for hope in all kinds of different directions. And we're the ones who have this wonderful, what makes us tick? Boy, can we talk about that, you know? And so I just throw that out, you know, to think about, because I like what you said, Will. It's not that tough. You know, it's really not that tough. But boy, there are, it seems like that there are more things attempting to separate us than hold us together. And it's doing its number. Talk about influencers, you know, just be, watch the news and be influenced, watch what happens, and that kind of thing. So I don't know if I've confused you or added to the dilemma, but those are just some thoughts. Reflecting what's on the inside of us, you know, that it's, there's nothing false about that. It's real, and it counts, and it changes attitudes and people and directions, and I just look forward to what God's going to do in the mess that we are in. he's up to something grand, and it's right. Going to show itself, you know. So amen. sorry for the hog there. So.
No, it's fine.
Yeah, get in, Paul.
Jump in there, Paul. Yeah. Yeah. We talked to a guy today, Will, that I think you might know. He wrote The Erasing of America, Jim Robbins. I think he's teaching at Georgetown University in Washington, and he's a good friend of ours. And I mentioned you, Will, and what you had said, and I said, as long as I've known this young man, he's always been influencing people towards hope and encouraging them in everything I've ever seen him do. And I said, so Jim, when you come in to hit politics for us, should we start praying for you now? And he said, there's hope everywhere. He said, I just got to tell you the things that are happening right now, to allude to what Paul was saying there. Mm-hmm. He said that they're out there. You just got to take them one at a time. He mentioned Virginia. He mentioned Florida. He mentioned two or three different things. And as he said these things, and then he said, you got to remember the thing that holds it all together is Christ is the bow on the package, and he's the only one that can open it, and he's got his hand on it. And I mm-hmm. thought, oh, that's interesting, you know. So by keeping the hope, it's a little bit at a time, but that attitude is so much. I mean, you remember what we used to say, everybody who crosses your path during the day ought to be a better person for having spent 60 seconds with you. That doesn't mean brighter, sharper, this or the other, but it simply means they're going to have hopefully the joy of Jesus and a smile on their face because they spent a little time with you and you lifted them up like you're saying.
Yeah. You don't look like you're weaned on a pickle.
Exactly.
There's that phrase that says you might be the only Bible that someone ever reads. And that hits hard. I mean, good or bad, because, you know, you've got a I Love Jesus sticker and you're like, honking at people down the road. Not going to look too good.
Not on my truck, I don't.
Either. I'm just saying, I have seen it.
Yes. Yes.
Hence why I don't put those stickers on my car. I tell people driving is my weakness. My spiritual battle is driving.
Yes.
Well, I also like what you said, that the idea that everybody influences everybody. You influence somebody. None of us are where we are and contact who we are in contact with for just by accident. We really are. Now, and there's no way in the world you don't influence the people you're in contact with. Back to your question, the only question is, am I influencing them toward hope or am I discouraging them? Because you're going to influence them. You cannot keep from influencing them. They're either going to be there to be going to be better for being in your company or worse off. So I like that because it is so essentially true. And I think it's one of the essential messages that especially every believer needs to understand and walk out your house every single day with that foremost in your brain. You leave, you know, okay, God, who am I going to influence today? Who are you going to put in my path today? There should never be anybody that meets us that shouldn't have some reaction. They're either ticked off because you're so weird, or they're pleasantly surprised, or they're encouraged by and reminded of what's in them. I appreciate that, man, and applaud you for that.
Yeah, he gives us the ability to be, what's the old saying there, Paul? Gentle as a Wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove, right? Yeah, wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove. But he does it, Ron. I'm sure glad he does it. I'd be worried if I had to figure it out.
Praise God.
Have you all figured out that Christianity is a contact sport? Have you figured that out?
Yep.
It is. Yeah.
And right. The bigger the blip you are on the radar screen of Satan, the tougher the storm is going to be.
Hello. You betcha.
Oh, man.
Just listening to a sermon about the more opposition you're going through, the bigger the opportunity that you have. And it was a correlation with Elijah's life and just how he's serving God. And then he's completely defeated in here, you know, and a lot of times we don't share what we're going through with people. And I think that's part of what you're talking about, Will, is just that little connection. You being kind to someone might be so much of what they needed that day. I think people make it harder than it has to be.
Yeah.
Amen.
And to speak to what you're saying, Stephanie, I mean, it's a lot of times when people, they just lost a loved one. A loved one just died. You're showing up at a visitation or their funeral or before the funeral, or they just, their spouse just left, or their kid, something drastic happened in one of their kids' life, anything like that. We think, to speak to what you're saying, we think, okay, I have to have the perfect answer. No, you don't. Usually those answers are actually not going to help. They don't want to hear that, especially right then. They want your presence. They want you there. They want to hear from you. They want to know you care. And simply the fact that you're there speaks volumes. You do speak to them eventually, but at first without even saying anything.
Amen.
Yeah. Because you said, Paul, it is a contact sport. Amen. And what you were saying earlier, Paul, just a couple quick things. I heard you use the word brokenness. Mm-hmm. And there was a question wrapped in some there where in there and what you were saying. And tell me if I'm stabbing at it at all. You know, when someone comes to you and they do have brokenness, there can be a few different causes. I think one of the causes it can often be is that God is actually using that brokenness temporarily using that brokenness in their life to grow them, to draw them to Him, to grab their attention, to pull something out of their life that was harming them, something like that. And so that aside, let's say that's not the reason. So set that one aside for a second. A lot of times it's just like you said, it's a lack of hope. And so the important thing to remember is to go to two things. Where's the source of hope? Number one, where's the source of hope? Well, it's found in Christ. It's found in the Lord. It's found in a relationship with Him. And if I can, in whatever verbiage and whatever reminders, gently and lovingly point people and consistently point people in that direction, like you said, Paul, they go looking in all the wrong places, or you said something like that. You have to know where the source is. And again, that's why this is a contact sport. We're sharing that truth with other people who just don't know yet. I mean, think about when Jesus grabbed his 12 guys, and there were certainly many other disciples that followed him as well, but poured a majority of his time into 12, and then three, even inside that 12, just three. And look at what he did when he first grabbed them. They were clueless. They didn't know. They didn't have it all put together. He just said, hey, follow me. That's it, as a simple message. And then the other thing about hope, Paul, I think, is to go back to design. And you mentioned something like this, so I could put it in maybe other words of exactly what you said, to say that to find hope, you have to, when I said hope deferred makes the heart sick, well, a lot of times when we're lacking hope, or when it's completely gone, or we feel that it's gone, or it's been gone for a while, a lot of times the cause can be that we're even fighting the designs, the principles of reality itself, and we don't even know we're doing it. We're hitting our head against a wall known as reality, the way we were wired, the way we were designed. I mean, look, we are wired to do relationships with each other face to face. And when I I need to be careful using that word, disobey that design, because listen, okay, you know, Stephanie and Dr. Thayer, y'all mentioned being at home for a period of time of a couple months. So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a long extended period of time. I can get out, but I'm not going to. When I disobey that, maybe that's a little bit of a strong word. When I disobey that principle of reality that God hardwired into who we are, it will have a detrimental effect. It must. For example, going to work, you know, Dr. Thayer, you were blessed to be able to go to work because you, well, okay, not to downplay your job, my brother-in-law's a family medicine doctor. Doctor's incredibly important job. But any job, I've been saying this since March of 22, I can't remember what year it is. March of 2020. I lost the last 2 years. In March of 2020, I've been saying this since then consistently. You know, an important job, a crucial job, an irreplaceable job. I'm not stabbing on the terms that the media was using. An essential job is,
and so you're not essential.
That puts food on the table. Any job that puts food on the table is an essential job. Because why? I go back to the design, back to the principles of reality. God created work with provision.
Right.
And again, some of us were blessed to be able to go to work during that time. I think my job was considered essential. I defined it as such and went to work, but whether or not it was defined as essential, but I thought, man, I have too much to do. I can't stay here. So that gets back into Romans 13 and what the word authorities includes and all the other stuff. But back to God's design, you know, those principles of reality are just so important. And if we violate or butt our head against that wall, if we go against those for a long time, back to what you were saying, Paul, that can absolutely quench and damage and hurt my hope. A lot of men are connected, and women too, are connected with their values, a lot of times connected with work. And if I can't get out there and work with my hands or my mind or my whatever gifts God gave me, that's certainly going to zap hope and a dozen other things.
Man.
I go back to my background that kind of speaks to the reality, right? So I did 23 years in prison ministry.
Awesome.
So spent a lot of time with men in prison and with volunteers, training them to go in, with training staff. And there are some weird, quirky things that people have to learn in those environments. You know, it's a different world, and it doesn't really operate and function like the world you're from outside. And you try to explain to them why that is, why these weird things happen, why this weird sort of culture develops and these weird sort of interactions. And you tell them, well, when you isolate people from other people, weird things happen in their heads, right? There's nothing there that says this isn't okay, or there's nothing to say this isn't normal. So these weird things develop, right? So the guys who are most sort of psychologically and socially twisted were those men who were in solitary. When they stayed in their cells, 5x8 or 5x6 cell, 23 and a half hours a day. Weird sort of things happen in their head, their way of thinking, their conversation, and even some of their behavior there after a certain period of time. And you go out another part of the population where they may have had two guys in a cell, but they're locked down in this pod where they aren't allowed to go outside. It's the same thing. If you prevent people from having contact and social contact and a relationship with other people, as you said, Will, there are some things God designed in us to take place in relationships. If you violate that and take that away, all sorts of crazy things happen. It's one of those windows you open and doors you open for Satan to come in and do all kinds of crazy things with you. You know, one of the things that I deal with men on, one difference between men and women, generally speaking, when women are hurt, when they are struggling, when there's a loss of hope, they have a tendency to drift toward other women. Men, on the other hand, we isolate. It's our first thing to do is isolate. We go off by ourselves. And it's one of the worst things in the world that you can do, because that's when Satan beats you to death. You don't have the blessing of other people in a relationship or in contact with them that they can influence you and actually get your head straight. It's the worst thing in the world for us to do. So yeah, it's vitally important, and it's something God designed. And whenever we violate that, I agree, there are consequences, negative consequences, and sometimes dire ones that cost people their lives.
And Ron, think about not talking to your wife for a week. See how that would go. you know.
Well, you know, sometimes that's, you know, sort of necessary.
Careful, careful.
It damages the intimacy.
Oh, she's not talking does. To you. It
does. Stephanie will her that.
You have to talk to her.
Put a pen in her hand.
You know, Ron, you said what you were just saying made me think. I think this need that Will's describing is going to continue to be more and more important, because there are a lot of people that are lacking structure now, which, you know, we always say, well, our kids need structure. Well, we need structure too. We are meant to work. Yeah. A lot of people think you're not. Yeah. There's so much good that comes from that. And I don't necessarily mean a paycheck. If you don't need a paycheck, great. But right. The great resignation is happening right now and people are leaving work. And so as you were talking, Ron, I just thought, this problem is going to get bigger because people have just given up on showing up, hope, the mess of it. So what are they going to do? They're just going to sit at home? I mean, that's really not good for us.
No, at all. At all.
Yeah. And right. and not to get into politics, but when a system spreads that that incentivizes and allows that, it's going to only make it worse. It won't help things. It might seem to help things for a month or two or three or even six. Yeah. But in the long run, it will not help things.
That's right. There's a way that seems right to men, but the ends thereof is destruction. Yes. That just applies to so many different things. And you're right. Yeah. Absolutely.
I think we just had an angel in my room.
My daughter sneaked into my room. What if I didn't hug her for a week? You know, how would she feel that?
Absolutely.
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with me? Well, there's nothing wrong with you, but it would damage the... You know,
that's right.
Hey, one of the things that my wife used to love, wanted to volunteer. Every hospital when they are maternal wards, they have people who come who volunteer. And what do? They just hold babies. The newborn babies that are separated from their mothers or something's going on. They come and they hold them and they may feed them. But the biggest thing is to hold. And you go, why is that? Why is this so important? Because we need human contact. And if from the very first moments of your life on through, you need that. If you're not hugging someone, you're not touching them, you're not connecting with them, that's contrary to how God designed us. So yeah, the consequences.
And Jesus says, what did he say? Follow me. Hey, come hang out with me.
Yes.
Let's tell some stories. Let me tell you some things. Let's talk life.
Yes.
Absolutely. He had his guy gang. Yes. Absolutely. They were pretty good. Well, and you know, the baby thing, I have friends that have even volunteered at some orphanages or like nonprofits, but a great one, if you are involved in a church community and you think you have baby fever or you're not, or you know, you don't want to, go volunteer in the nursery. They are always, always short. Always. And you get to love on that little thing for 50 minutes and then you get to give it back. It's beautiful.
Right.
And you bless a family with being able to be in service. And also get that break, because we all know how exhausting that time is, you know?
Amen. That's right.
You've also told me
hey, well, folks, I'm going to jump in as we turn the 220. If this was a 40 race, here we go. We're still good. We're just going to have a minute after this. Just want to let you know, we are run on your support, and we thank you for those that are giving and supporting this program. What a blessing you are, and I hope we're a blessing to you. And if you would like to donate to this ministry, to this program, to Raising Expectations, all you do is the following thing. We make it real easy. This is what you write down. Just go to this site, BBS Radio. That's bbsradio.com. bbsradio.com/Raising Expectations. bbsradio.com/raising expectations. If you'll do that, you'll see us. And there's a little donation page. You can read about everybody. There's a story about them in there. And you can hit that tab. It's PayPal. It's safe. And whatever you give as a gift to us, we use to help the ministry go. Thanks so much. That's my incredibly outstanding donation call. Right, guys? You are ministers. We're so good at this. I always pass this off to whoever did the finances, not me. But anyway, God's always good. God's always blessing because of you. So we have, moving right along now, as one of our old dear professors used to say, Dr. Harris, remember, Paul?
Absolutely.
Moving right along, gentlemen. We've got 10 minutes. I'm going to need a minute at the end to close it out. So take it off. Go ahead. 9 minutes.
So Will, in your capacity as a pastor, what are some of the mechanisms that you may employ at the church to kind of encourage folk in this way, this idea of influencing folk and toward hope? What do you think? What do you say?
So a core function of our job is found in Ephesians chapter 4, and it addresses exactly what you're talking about. It includes other things, but it also addresses what you're talking about. And that is that our job is to equip the saints, to equip the believers, to do the work of the ministry. It's not that we're not doing it. We just teach a class, three or four classes a week for an hour each class, and then we sit back and spin in our chair. It's we're doing it as well. We better be. But we're not doing it all. And so that looks like a Bible fellowship class, a Sunday school class on Sunday morning. It looks like a class we're going through right now. We're splitting it up into thirds, and we site licensed a documentary, a new one called In His Image.
Oh, okay.
About human sexuality. Have you heard of it?
Good stuff. American Family. Yes. Yeah, great stuff.
So equipping them to reach people who struggle in that area, and not stiff arm and push them away, but to reach them in love. And you, to love someone is to want God's best for them in the truth. Yeah. So that's what we're training them in the truth. It can look like a Wednesday night class. I'm a Constitution coach with Wall Builders.
Oh,
I've heard of them in Weatherford, Alvord area. And then Rick Green's in Dripping Springs. And so occasionally we do one of their classes. We're doing Building on the American Heritage series. Later, next semester, we're going to do Biblical Citizenship in Modern America. And you talk about hope. These guys are talking about, look, we may be disappointed with some things on the federal level, but on the state level, and particularly also county and local, there are so many good things happening. Yeah. In fact, their radio show, Wall Builders radio show, they have a theme each day, Monday through Thursday. And then guess what every Friday is? Because when we are bombarded by Fox News, when we're bombarded by just negative news and stress and statistics all the time, hope deferred makes the heart sick. So guess what they have on Friday, every Friday? Good News Friday.
Good News Friday.
Good News Friday, because we need to hear good news. And here's the cool thing. David and Tim Barton, who are co-hosts, father and son, and we had Joe Schofield and I had Tim Barton out to Prestonwood to speak one time. Did a great job. He came with his wife. And they said, look, our stack of papers of good news articles is getting bigger. It's, in other words, it's growing faster than we can read it on Fridays.
All right.
So it's just things like that to train our people to say, look, there is hope. We're shepherds, and that should come from the Lord through our mouths.
Yes.
And B, we're going to help train you to get out there. And this isn't just for you. This is for you to reach other people and to share that hope with them. And to super quickly, Joe, Philippians, this is it real quick. No sermon. Okay. Not a sermon. One of my favorite pastors who mentored me, said, you know, the guys, and I love them, the guys that preach for 40, 45 minutes, 50 minutes, an hour. I'm not naming names. Oh, Ron Kerr, there you go. And I teach for that time period.
On Sunday mornings. Guys.
That's how long my teaching is on Sunday mornings in a Bible fellowship class. But talking about sermons, those are great. But a lot of times those guys say, well, that's the only way to do it. If you're not preaching for at least 45 minutes, you know, you're theologically weaker or something like that. And so yes. And so it's Chris Osborne. He pastored in College Station for a while. Now he teaches at Southwestern. And he said, you know, I read through really slowly the Sermon on the Mount, one of Jesus's sermons. You know how long it is? 18 and a half minutes.
Right.
It doesn't have to take long. Okay. So here you go. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. This is it. Be anxious for nothing, but in every, well, how in the world to do that? Well, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So there's gratitude that plays into this. Let your requests be made known to God. Tell God about it. He wants to hear. He's not surprised. His feelings are not going to be hurt with whatever you have to tell him, even if it's in frustration. Bring it to him. And verse 7, bring this to him with thanksgiving. Bring your requests to him. In verse 7, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. It's beyond our ability to grasp how he does this. The peace of God, here's his promise. Will guard, that's a military term, like a sentry standing guard, will guard two things, your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. My heart's my emotions. Well, it's based in my brain physiologically, but it's my emotions, my heart, and my minds, my intellect, my thought life, my thought patterns. Am I prone to depression? Am I not prone to depression? Thought patterns, habits. Yes. So what did he just say? If you'll do that, God promises to guard the two areas of our life that can lead us astray, that most are most likely to lead us astray, our emotions,
right,
and our thoughts and intellect. And that's such a deep two verses that speaks to this issue that and speaks to your question.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah, I like what you read and what you guys are saying, because one of the things that I started to do a while ago after seeing a movie called The Prayer Room, was create a prayer room, and I'll write them out, you know, and I'll put them on a wall. And if you write it out, it makes it more actionable, right? So you've committed to it. But what happens is your kids or staff will go by and, oh, I didn't even know you were worried about that.
Can we add to it? I'm staring at it right now, actually. So, and then the kids have added, like, they love the armor of God. So one of them added a statue over there, you know, so it becomes this communal prayer space.
Amen. Awesome. Amen. It's great.
Satan and his minions hate that. And that puts them in retreat mode.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, the only time the enemy wins with us in our minds is he's bluffing, is when we let him get away with the bluff, when we don't call
it. That's right. Okay. Amen. So
that prayer room has, I love it, Dr. Thayer. That movie was excellent. Yeah.
We got 1.5 minutes. Right. Anything you want to say to Will, anybody?
I want to thank you for being here, Will. Thanks for sharing. Yeah. Sure. I pray for you that, you know, that you remain strong in a long obedience in the same direction, you know, as one guy said. I'd like to speak to the 50-minute sermons, though. I forget who the preacher was who said sermonettes produce Christianettes. So just be careful. Careful. Just kidding with you.
Oh, I know. Sometimes that's true if he's taken to an extreme, yeah.
He is so faithful and pray. Tell us about, can you take about 30 seconds or a minute? Tell us about your church. Tell us about your church. Could you?
We're doing okay, all things considered during this time. Our members are fantastic. Our deacon team is amazing. We have a lot of deacons for our size. We have 21 right now. We reelect them every year. They're amazing men of God. We're blessed to have not just ladies that serve. We have a strong female backbone in our church, and that's crucial. But then a lot of churches, that's all they have service wise, and which is not good. You want to have both. We have both. That's fantastic. So they're growing. They're reaching people. We have, I would call slow, steady growth numerically, but it's not just about numbers. It's about depth. And so we have depth discipleship, one-on-one. That's one of my biggest things. I didn't even talk about that tonight, but that's one-on-one discipleship is one of my biggest. I try to have anywhere between 4 and 8 guys a week on my calendar.
Good.
Amen.
So our church is doing well.
Yes. All right. We got just a matter of seconds left here, I wish. But Will, boy, so proud of you. It's a blessing every time I see you. Now we're all blessed watching you and your ministry. And hug your beautiful wife and your precious, beautiful little girls. What a blessing God is. And Midlands and Kelby Heights Baptist Church, they're blessed to have you there. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Blessed to have you there. And we'll look forward. We're going to have you back so you can talk about some more things. So we'll be back in touch. We've become a program that a lot of people like the regulars we bring in. They want us to keep them coming. So we'll be back in touch with you again. We love you and appreciate you. Right, guys and gals?
Amen.
From the thorns and the rose. Yeah, there we go. All right, Will. God bless and keep you. And we'll look forward to seeing you, okay?
Thank you for having me.
Okay. God bless. We're blessed. Have a great week. Thanks for tuning in, folks, to Raising Expectations. You are special to us, and we hope you've been uplifted. And remember the things that Will shared with you today as Pastor Hobbs gave those words and we all shared. We just pray you have the best week you've had in a long time, and 2020 will be a year. You got any questions to talk to us? Call us, check us out. We're right there on the website. Get a hold of Stephanie and Hank, and they'll take good care of you too. God bless Kelby Heights Baptist Church, and we'll look forward to talking to you later. See you later, Will. God bless.
God bless you guys.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.